I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
From restaurateur to entrepreneur,
I make sauce now.
2020 forces a Rittenhouse business owner to shut down her restaurant, and from home, she started a sauce-making business.
This is a podcast about food in and around Philadelphia.
That's a quick, delicious, flavorful bite.
It was really hard for me to get into it.
Stories from behind the kitchen.
This is a wood-burning oven from Italy.
It is intense.
And hear about quirky stuff, too.
Eat a pint of ice cream as quickly as you can, and then resume the 5K.
This is What's Cooking on KYW.
I'm Hadass Kuznets with Kiki Araneta, who is a former restaurateur in Philadelphia. She used to own Poi Dog Philly. She's gone from restaurateur to entrepreneur. And so you have launched a new line of sauces. So before we get into that, Kiki, what a year it's been, huh?
I know. Seriously.
We've seen restaurants close. We've seen new businesses start. We've seen people having to create kind of new business models for this COVID world we're living in.
Yeah. I mean, it's been full of like really high highs and really, 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 really low lows. It's definitely a changed world as of the last, what, 7 months?
9 months, but who's counting?
I know.
So you have two new sauces that you've launched. How did those, what are they and how did they come to be?
So the two sauces that I have launched, I'm towards the end of the process of rebranding Poi Dog. I'm still awkwardly telling people who are like, hey, you have a restaurant, right? I'm like, well, no, not anymore. I make sauce now. I was selling them at the Sisterly Love Food Fairs, which is outdoors on the street in front of restaurants owned by women. And I need to get a t-shirt made that says, I make sauce now. So the two sauces, one is a Maui lavender ponzu and the other one is a chili pepper water. They're pretty good. Please buy them.
Should I call you a sauce maker? Is that like the new title?
I think so. I mean, like, I'm still doing like other things. I still have like pop-ups rescheduled, planned for later dates. Not sure when those later dates exactly will be. Like, I'm still going to be cooking. It's just that right now for these next few months, I'm really just working on rebranding Poi Dog and starting this sort of a new company, but I'm in some ways doing the same thing. And in some ways, I'm changing the look of things, I suppose.
So are these traditional Hawaiian sauces?
So the chili pepper water is very much a Hawaii thing. Like, it's not typically something that's sold in stores. It's more like something that is made in-house, in a restaurant, at home. There are some chili pepper waters available on the marketplace, but it's most commonly something that is really, really extremely homegrown and that you would see on tables at like really casual places. And
what is it? It's not water.
So it's not exactly water. It's watery, I guess. In Hawaii, we have a lot of food that goes by like really confusing misnomers. Chili pepper water is one of them. Like, yes, there's water in it, but especially for my version, it's more vinegar than anything else, and it's mostly rice vinegar. But it's not quite a sauce because it doesn't have like a thick consistency at all. It's very much about preserving chilies in vinegar.
And what do you use it for?
So in Hawaii, we always say chili pepper water over everything. And you kind of dump it on everything. Like, whether it's macaroni salad, macaroni and cheese, plate lunches. So plate lunches are always rice-based and chili pepper water. There's something about, like, the mixing of the vinegary chili pepper water with a, like, slightly spicy kick. Not very spicy. Mixing with the rice and, like, the juices from the meats that are on the plate lunches that create something truly magical. We made an in-house version for Poi Dog, the restaurant, for many years, and it was something our customers could grab off the counter and like douse their poke bowls and plate lunches in. The version that is in the bottles is just a little bit different because when you bottle something, you have to come up with a manufacturing formula. You can't just like throw things into a pot, taste them and be like, this is great. So this is definitely a very different approach to cooking and creating flavors, but it is pretty close.
What's the process like?
So I'll tell you about the ponzu process, which is a little bit more straightforward because we're not dealing with like seasonal ingredients the way that the chili pepper water is. So the Maui lavender ponzu is entirely my creation. It is not a Hawaiian thing at all, but it utilizes very familiar flavors to Hawaii. So in Hawaii, we have a very significant Japanese influence on our food, which is where the ponzu comes in. And this is a yuzu juice and soy sauce based ponzu. So this sauce came about when I was just like messing around in the restaurant kitchen one day. And I had two events that I needed to create some sort of new dish for. One was to be paired with salmon because we work with a really wonderful sustainable salmon company. And I wanted like a really unique sauce to go with the salmon. And the other one was for Vitamix. So I do some work for Vitamix and I was trying to find like new applications or unexpected applications to use their blenders. So I was making ponzu sauce and I was like, what else can I make ponzu sauce with? Like, obviously I love yuzu ponzu, it's delicious, but like, what if it was like a little herbally? What if it was a little bit flowery? And I was just like digging around. Like I had a few shelves at the restaurant in the basement where I kept like projects, and we use Maui lavender, lavender grown, at the slopes of Haleakala on the Ali'i Kula farm. And it's a farm I greatly admire because they give a lot back to the community and they use sustainable business practices and they are really just lovely people to deal with. So we use all of their lavender in our baking, and I was just like, what the heck? Let's throw some lavender in this ponzu and see what happens. And it turned out to be incredibly delicious. Yuzu ponzu is wonderful because it's salty and a little bit bitter and a little bit sweet, but then you add lavender to that whole blend, and then somehow like the sweetness and bitterness of the yuzu is balanced by the floral herbaliness of the lavender. And I was like, oh my God, this is really amazing. Like, this is going to be something that like I'm super proud of. And it went on to become a sauce that we used at all of our like high-end fancy events, like festival. We would douse like silken tofu with it. And I love the idea of making ponzu in-house because it's not something that's very commonly done. And so this is a sauce I've been making for the last couple years. That's been my pet project.
What do you use that for? Yeah, and what would you put that on?
I use it as a substitute for shoyu or soy sauce when shoyu and soy sauce is like a dipping sauce.
So you could also like cook with it, right?
You can. It's really fun now, like seeing the sauces go off around the country and people are reporting back to tell me like what they did with it. And a lot of times it's stuff that I never would have even thought of. Like my friend texted me, she's like, hey, I made Bloody Marys and I put the chili pepper water in it. I'm like, I never even would have thought to do that. Like, I'm like, that is brilliant. Never occurred to me. That is like, oh my God, like I have to try that. So it's really, really fun, like creating something that like causes other people to be creative. The ponzu, people have like cooked salmon in it. I personally prefer just like dipping salmon. Like I like to eat my fish raw. So I'll dip, salmon, ahi in as sashimi. If I get like, even like takeout sushi, I'll ignore the soy sauce and just dip everything in ponzu now. Like I eat it every single day. Like I'm amazed I haven't gotten sick of it yet because I'm constantly around it. But right now we're still in the process of like eating it like twice a day.
So you're eating it, you're selling it, you're talking about it, you're all around it.
I love it. Like I'm like so, like I love it so much. Like it's almost like something like somebody else created with me in mind. And like, that's how much I love it.
So how do you come up with it? How do you come up with it? Like you got to make a recipe to put it in the bottle, right?
Yes. So we're not at the mass production scale yet. You have to essentially like, there are some hard and fast rules and there are some not. We're working with a distributor. So we're essentially abiding by like the regulations that they need to abide by. But in terms of mass production, we're not quite there yet. Because a lot of facilities need you to hit a certain mark in sales, before they'll like take you on as a client. The Maui lavender ponzu recipe is something that I created out of essentially trial and error. And then the initial recipe was turned into a formula by the Drexel Food Lab. I took that formula to the Rutgers Food Innovation Center, and they honed it a bit more. And we are still working out the process of how to turn that formula into like a really, really, really big batch.
You have to do different things to make it from like a small batch or something that you're using in your restaurant to something that's big because of, I don't know, I imagine because it's got to be like shelf stable.
I am very, very lucky in that both of my sauces are extremely shelf stable because they are so high in vinegar. So I don't have to worry about like the same sort of, I'd have like a different bundle of problems to deal with than like somebody who wants to create like a frozen food product. I basically follow Rutgers' advice. Like, they're essentially my consultants, and they're like, you know, your sauce will essentially last forever if you use like this type of bottle with like a metal cap, like all these like little things. They'll just like, you know, tweak the process a little bit here and there. We have to cook like the sake or mirin a little bit longer, and then like making it in a restaurant, I initially did because Virginia Tech does all my lab testing, and to have products out on the mass marketplace, they need to be under a certain alcohol content level. So there are all these like little things to consider once you get to mass production.
And does it taste the same as when you used to make it at Poi Dog?
You know what? It actually does. A lot of people have warned me that like, the more you scale up, and I've been scaling up like incrementally, they're like, the more you scale up, like the more you'll find like little tweaks. In terms of the flavor, I haven't actually found that many changes at all. Like, obviously when I get to an even bigger stage, maybe I'll be saying something different. But the food scientists that I've been working with have been really helpful. They're like, well, if you reduce, for example, if we're getting into the nitty-gritty, if you reduce the mirin or sake, like to this percent, you can like add this much water to like compensate for it, but the alcohol is like burnt off. So there are like all these just like little tweaks to the process when you are scaling up. I also had a side project at Poi Dog that was finding different ways to reduce food waste, which is something, is like one of the main goals that Drexel, that their culinary program focuses on. So I was constantly having like conversations with their staff and faculty.
How do you use that when it comes to like your packaging?
So I'm glad you asked, but I'm going to take a step back, because the thing about these recipes is that they are no waste recipies. So I mentioned that the chili pepper water is a not quite a sauce. So when you make something that's not quite a sauce and you're using something to essentially flavor vinegar or vinegars, there's going to be residual solids. So in both the ponzu and the chili pepper water, there are residual solids from the sauce making process that are strained off and that I am developing into two other products, the chili pepper water dry seasoning and there's a ponzu dry seasoning as well. And both you would use, like the chili pepper water you would like use in place of like togarashi, like a chili spice blend. And the ponzu can be used sort of like a furikake or a rice seasoning. And those are not quite on the market yet. Like, I have been selling them at like markets in on a really small scale, but I don't want to like put those out until I have a very clear idea of how much is yielded from each batch.
All glass packaging, I think you said metal tops or something.
Metal tops, yeah. So if anybody knows anything about this, like, I want to know more. Like, I mean, our metal caps are very, very tiny, but with the canning process, with like the preservation of the sauces, like you can reuse bottles and jars, but you can't with the tops. So I'm by no means like an expert canner or bottler or anything. So I'm not sure like what happens with the sauces. Like I'm a person who saves like all the packaging that my food comes in.
What's been the most rewarding part of becoming a sauce business owner?
I'm really tired, so I have not figured out what is rewarding about this quite yet. I mean, there are little things that are like really cool that I'm like slowly starting to discover. But mind you, I've only been like selling these for a week now. And I'm really stressed out from like UPS. Yeah, from like UPS is like overload. I mean, so I just don't go to the post office anymore. Like, I'm just scared of it, because I know how, like, my entire Facebook feed for months now has been people saying like, oh, the post office is backed up. It's really like I know, like, I mean, I'm receiving packages at like 9 o'clock at night and I'm like, I'm so sorry. First of all, I'm like, I can't believe I'm receiving mail. And like, second of all, I'm like, you guys are working like so overtime. Like, I feel so bad for you. At this point of the year, is a really curious challenge.
You afraid people are going to go on Facebook and be like, where's my sauce?
I am, but you know, I'm actually really, really impressed. So I've been I ship through UPS. Although if, you order sauce on my side abroad, I will personally deliver it to your house because UPS is really seems to be really fast, but I am faster. So I walked a couple bottles like over to somebody's house and they opened the door and I think they were expecting a mailman and not like a giant pile of hair wearing a mask.
Not like the business owner personally coming to their house.
Yeah. I'm like, here you go. And they're like, what is going on? I'm like, I'm faster than UPS.
Well, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
What are you most excited about with 2021?
I am excited about making a larger batch of ponzu. That is something I'm really, really excited about. And I am really excited to see what people do with these sauces. Because I know like how I want to eat my food and that's where these sauces came about. But I'm so curious to see like how other people are going to incorporate them into their recipes and their lives.
How has the virus impacted kind of your sales? Because you think people are cooking at home now, and so they're looking for ways to do different things with food?
Yes. So I think that the pandemic has made people a lot more focused on eating at home, which is a good thing. Like, yes, we all need to support our restaurants to ensure their survival. And you can, but the thing is, like with these sauces, you can order from a restaurant, you can order sushi takeout, and still dump the sauces all over your takeout food. So please do that. I have nothing to compare this to. Our first batch has sold really, really fast and really well. You can pick up sauces from Herman's Coffee in Philadelphia, Moosey in Philadelphia, Occasionette, which has locations in New Jersey and Philly, the Staunton Grocery in Virginia, and of course, Gotham Grove.
Kiki, where are you making these? You're not making them in your kitchen.
Oh God, no. So the small batch sauce. So I'm manufacturing them out of Moosey, and some of the first batch was also produced at the Rutgers facility. So they have a bottling facility. But I produced there was a batch I produced in their lab, and then the next batch will be in their bottling facility.
And are you doing it, or is it like a team?
It is me.
It's you. How many bottles are you making per batch?
The first run was a couple batches, and then I bottled all at once. So that was about 300 bottles.
Well, Kiki, congratulations on your new venture. And I hope that the new year is better for everybody, actually, to be honest with you. Here's to a very delicious 2021.
Thank you so much.
That's it for this episode of What's Cooking on KYW. You can follow the show and get other delicious tidbits on Instagram at foodinthe215. And follow me on Twitter and Facebook for more news and insights at Hadas Kuznets. If you have a food tip or feedback about the show, reach out. And please take a moment to help us by rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. It helps us to keep making the podcast and get it to new listeners. I'm Hadas Kuznets, and that's What's Cooking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.